Hey, welcome to episode number 13 of the Go To Physio podcast. In today's episode, we talk all about the Nordic exercise and some simple tweaks to further enhance this valuable exercise. I hope you enjoy the show. Hey, welcome to episode number 13 of the Go To Physio podcast. My name is Dave O'Sullivan, and it's great to have you here again for another episode. Well, over the past 12 episodes, we've split between higher level critical thinking and clinical applications to help you get real world results with real people in the real world. And in today's episode, we're going back into the thick of it in applying what we've spoke about previously, and more specifically now looking at hamstrings and specifically the Nordic exercise. So if you recall, over especially episodes numbers 3, 4, and also when we looked at clinical applications in 6, 7, and 8 as well, we talked a lot about the importance of coordination and not only trying to isolate muscles, but get muscle synergists and antagonists to work together to get co-contractions, maybe at the knee, to help the hip be successful, all of this stuff we've covered in past episodes. So if you haven't listened to those episodes, especially episodes number 3 and number 4, I would highly recommend you go back and listen to those episodes before you listen to this episode, because that'll give you a great foundation and understanding of what we're talking about today, because we're not going to spend as much time revising and going over what we've talked about already. But by now, you know, if you've listened to all the other episodes, you'll know that I'm a big advocate of working muscles in coordination as opposed to trying to isolate muscles. And, you know, rather than just isolating a particular muscle and loading it, I want to give a greater exposure to that tissue, but I want to give a greater exposure to that tissue working with all the other tissue so that the nervous system can self-organize. Now, with the Nordic exercise, there's a big debate obviously going on at the moment whether Nordics are worth it, you know, if they're a valuable exercise. Are the hamstrings working isometrically when we're sprinting? Is there an eccentric component? And, you know, my personal stance on that is I don't have a strong enough opinion to, you know, neglect the valuable research that's shown with Nordics. And if we actually look at Nordics, we can see that the muscle activation patterns, it's actually stimulating semitendinous the most. So that's got the highest activation it's been shown in research, then actually biceps femoris, long head and short head. Now, I appreciate the Nordic exercise has been shown to change the fascicle length of biceps femoris, but from a more higher level thinking, why do Nordics seem to be so successful in the research? And I think if you actually look at my opinion is if you look at the Nordic exercise, maybe what the Nordic exercise is doing is it's putting load through the medial hamstrings. Now, in the Go To Therapist mentorship, especially for knee pain, ankles, hips, even low back pain, we put a massive emphasis on the medial hamstrings. If you've taken my Return to Play course, you'll appreciate, you know, and you've probably heard me say that I think the medial hamstrings are the most important muscles. If I had to prioritize one muscle or pair of muscles for knee health, it would be the medial hamstrings over the hip. Okay, I think they're very, very important to help co-contract at the knee joint. And I think they're a set of muscles that are massively overlooked. And I think we get too obsessed with hip strengthening for knee pain in particular. You look at the architecture of the medial hamstrings, especially semitendinosus, long tendons, massive role in elastic energy when we're sprinting. Okay, when we're sprinting, we want to be relying heavily on elastic energy, okay, for energy efficiency. And again, we know that the hamstrings are at a high risk of tearing, specifically biceps femoris. Now, one of my philosophies is that when we have a muscle tear, or when we have you know, a tendonitis, tendinosis, my first question would be, what's not doing its job that's maybe causing these tissues to overload in the first place? And if we think, well, what's causing the biceps femoris to maybe overload that, there's actual physical trauma to the tissues, then would it be reasonable to consider that actually maybe the medial hamstrings aren't doing enough? work. Okay, when we do Nordics, is that possibly giving the semitendinosus an ability, a greater exposure program, to actually tolerate load again, show the nervous system it's safe for these tissues to load again? And possibly is that why we're getting so much success with Nordics? Okay, so that would be my kind of thought process when I look at Nordics, and when I think that they definitely have a place when we appreciate the valuable research that's coming out about them. Okay, but again, the bigger question is Nordics doing what we think they're doing? Okay, and again, that's just my opinion. I may be completely off, but you know, as I said, that's where my head is at the moment with them. So the next question is, how can we maybe tweak the Nordic exercise, just like we've tweaked the terminal knee extension exercise? Okay, and if you haven't seen that exercise already, then please visit www.thegotophysio.com/blog, and on episode number 7 of the Go To Physio podcast, we discussed the terminal knee extension exercise and how we can maybe make that a better exercise to adhere to some of the key principles of the go-to therapist mentorship philosophy. Hey, I hope you're enjoying today's show. For more clinical content and tips to help you implement this content in the real world, please visit thegotophysio.com for more information, including my 6-step patient adherence checklist, which you can download for free. And also, there's more blog content that helps you implement this stuff in the real world. You'll also find links to my YouTube show, The Go To Physio Show, as well as lots of more information to help you become the go-to therapist, helping real patients get real results in the real world. Now, in this episode, obviously, we're talking about the Nordic. So how I've kind of changed around the Nordic to kind of fit my philosophy is, rather than having somebody with a Nordic exercise actually hold down the back of the ankles, what I let the athlete or the patient do now is I'll have the athlete or the patient up against the wall, and what I want them to do is I want to drive plantar flexion. Okay, so as they take up a position against the wall, instead of just having knee flexion resistance, okay, where you've a partner pushing down into your ankles and your heel is pushing up into their hands, okay, which we're getting a massive knee flexion torque, I appreciate, is I want knee flexion, but I also want plantar flexion, okay? Because again, if we look at the hamstrings, the key function of the hamstrings is to resist knee extension, okay? But we also want that happening as the foot is plantar flexing, okay? So I think sometimes some people with Nordics where we are working the gastro, the proximal gastro, but we're not appreciating the importance of plantar flexion. So what we do in the go-to therapist mentorship with the Nordic is we'll put the person against the wall, they'll actively plantar flex the ankle or the foot into the wall, which is activating your distal hamstrings, your proximal gastro, while also activating your distal gastro. Okay, so we're getting everything working together. We're getting foot pressures, we're getting the big toe flexor hallucis longus, and we're also engaging the hip via the foot. Okay, so that to me, I think it ticks a lot of my biases in terms of getting everything working together, giving the nervous system an ability for all of these tissues to self-organize. Because again, we have to appreciate with the Nordic, okay, or specifically with these kind of movements, that the gastro is very, very important as well, okay? That the gastro and the hamstring are synergists. Again, and you know, clinically, I've seen numerous times where if someone's not doing enough at the hamstring, we can have Achilles issues and vice versa. Not doing enough at the calf due to an old ankle injury, then we see issues further up the chain, okay? And again, we go about finding that and clinically reasoning that through the go-to therapist mentorship assessment. But what I want to get back to here is the importance of everything doing its job. So again, if the calf tissues done 25%, the hamstrings done 25%, the quads done 25%, the hip done 25%, give or take, okay, I appreciate it's not as clear cut as that, when that foot hits the floor, then we're minimizing the chances of one tissue or one direction overloading. Because at the end of the day, all I want is when that foot hits the floor, that everything does its job and that we distribute that ground reaction force as equally as possible throughout the body, depending obviously what's happening at the foot, the ankle, etc., and what directions are going to be having to take a little bit more load than others. So I think pushing through the midfoot and the big toe as they do the Nordic, okay, it's a nice way to get everything working together, and you're self-limited by your ability to hold that tension. So very often what you'll find is that as they go through the Nordic exercise, that they'll lose tension at the hip. Okay, there'll be a certain angle at the knee where they struggle to plantar flex and they struggle to feel their hip actually doing work. Okay, so as their hip extending, they'll lose that connection between the foot and the hip. And that's usually at the point where I will just get them to reset again. Okay, so it's really interesting. Then the beauty of this exercise as well is we can also get the rib cage involved as well. So sometimes then I'll get them to do that Nordic where I'll get them to push into the wall with the foot, get them to hip extend, hold that position where they'll feel the tension through the hamstring, and then we can get a plate or something like that in their hands, and we can get some thoracic motion at the rib cage as well, which we know obviously is very, very important as that foot's hitting the floor, the thoracic spine, the rib cage, that's going to be usually rotating towards that lead leg. Okay, and again, if we appreciate the fascia, muscles, everything's connected, etc., that will have a big impact on tension, it'll have a big impact on coordination. So we can as I said, based on our findings of the go-to therapist mentorship assessment, we'll usually at the end of that assessment have one or two directions that we feel aren't maybe the person's nervous system isn't tolerating load enough. Then we can easily bias those directions and put a bit more load through those directions in that step-by-step graded exposure manner. Okay, so that's why I like doing this version of the Nordic, this variation Nordic, whatever you want to call it. And as I said, hits a lot of my biases because we can still get the midfoot, the forefoot, we can get proximal gastro working with distal gastro, working with distal hamstrings, working with proximal hamstrings, working with the glute max, distal fibers, proximal fibers. We can get everything working together in coordination. And it's interesting, sometimes the athlete or the patient will lose that connection between the foot and the hip at a certain point. We can go in, we can do our hands on to desensitize, and then usually when we retest, then we get them to improve that connection, and then from there we can build that specific graded exposure program. Okay, so that's it for this week. Nice and short, to the point. Again, these podcasts, I don't want you to have to sift through hours and hours to pick up one or two kind of clinical things that you can apply. I want this podcast, just like my mentorship, to be everything that you listen to you can apply in the real world. Okay, so I hope you found that useful today. As I said, that's just my opinion, and that's what we're doing in the go-to therapist mentorship clinically, and we've had great success with it. And as I said, I'd love for you to give it a go. Let me know how you find it, any feedback or comments you have. As always, I appreciate your time and listening to the podcast. For more information, obviously head over to www.thegotophysio.com/blog, and then look for the Nordic with Foot Pressures blog, the accompanying blog to this podcast, and I'll also have a video of the Nordic exercise that we use as well. So again, if you're more visual or an audible, then make sure you head over to the website. You can pick up my book there, the Go-To Physio book. You can also find information on our Return to Play course, and also information on the Go-To Therapist Mentorship. If this kind of philosophy, if this thought process resonates with you and you'd like to learn more, then the Go-To Therapist Mentorship is where I will teach you exactly how I assess, how I treat, how I design step-by-step program, both in professional sport and in private practice. So make sure you head over to www.thegotophysio.com, and there's plenty more resources there as well. Well, that's it for this week. next week we're going to switch. We're going to stay clinical. We're going to switch from the lower limb up to the or from the lower limb up to the upper limb, and we're going to talk about how we can change some of these exercises to fit our, as I said, our philosophy on really getting the brain involved in these exercises rather than just trying to isolate muscles. And next week we're talking all about the importance of the fingertips for the rotator cuff. Okay, so I hope you join me next week, and I'll see you then. Once again, thank you for your time and attention. Thanks for having an open mind, listening to my thought process. I appreciate it. It's a, you know, it can be a slightly different way of looking at the body compared to certainly what I've been taught in university. And I appreciate you having an open mind and taking this stuff on board. Okay, that's it for this week. I'll see you next week on the GoTo Physio podcast. Hey, I hope you enjoyed today's show. For more information, please visit www.thegotophysio.com, where you can download my 6-step patient adherence checklist absolutely free, as well as read the accompanying blog that goes with today's episode. We've got lots of cheat sheets and clinical content to help you implement to get real world results with real patients that ultimately helps you become the go-to therapist and allows you to build a profitable, busy private practice or become that go-to therapist in professional sport. I'll speak to you soon on the next episode.